Welcome to Hot of the Mess, a podcast from The Dip. I am your host, Samantha Bush, aka Bravo Historian on Instagram, and I am changing things up a little bit this week. I am joined by my really good friend, Dave Quinn. You might know him as 9Daves on Instagram and Twitter. And we're just really here to shoot the shit and talk Housewives, talk Bravo. And I bring Dave on because obviously I love him. He's like one of my really close friends, but he really brings a perspective from a good place, not just a place of like cattiness or snarkiness. Like it's really smart. He's like an actual national treasure to me. I love him so much. This week we talk Roni, and he kind of changes my mind on Erica Jane just a little bit. He doesn't change it a lot. And he gives a really good perspective on Kenya Moore as well. So I hope you all enjoy this episode, and let's get started. Hi, Dave. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, my dear friend Sam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
Yes, I am feeling sex positive and Roni negative. That's how I'm feeling. Really just not. Oh, man. It's heartbreaking for me. This is my favorite show of the franchise. Like, I've always really loved New York, being a New Yorker myself, and it is just not doing it for me.
Yeah, there's something about it I'm just not vibing with at all.
Isn't it the worst when that happens though, Sam? Like when you love something so dearly and it just doesn't deliver?
Yeah, it's the fucking worst. I'm probably too familiar with that situation.
Yeah, it's pretty heartbreaking at this point. It just doesn't seem like the same show. It's like, I feel like I'm in a long-term relationship and I'm like, I don't know who you are anymore. I'm like, this isn't the show I fell in love with.
I feel like I am in like a 25-year marriage and I rolled over one morning and looked at my husband and was just like, who are you? I don't know you. That's how I feel.
That's exactly how I feel too. I'm right there with you.
Like, it's chaotic. Like, I feel like I have to smoke a cigarette after. Like, I get stressed. I'm stressed.
Yeah, it's not great. And the thing is, it is definitely not Ebony's fault. She is an incredible addition to the show. But there's the Five Housewives thing does not help. We need more voices in this cast, and it cannot just be five.
Well, that I totally agree. I love Ebony. I love what she brings to the show. But like the five women and like Heather, you can tell was like just brought on and she's just sitting there like, why the fuck am I here? Why did I sign up to sit at this lunch and listen to these old bitches yell at each other?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think that Heather, you know, the fans loved Heather so much in her return last season, I think had a lot of social media buzzing about her, and the network and the production company really responded by saying, okay, let's give Heather a chance. And they talked to her about coming back. And apparently they wanted her full time. She was interested in a friend of role. They brought her back into the fold. And I just think that, you know, that first episode of just being ambushed by those women who were cackling behind the scenes to get at her, you know, is very planned and plotted, just turned her off so much that you can see she's like, why am I even here? Get me out of here.
Do you think that that's like a huge part of the problem this year with Roni, is everything feels a little too plotted and maybe too contrived, or like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's my biggest issue. And, you know, listen, I am one of the people who will die on the hill of saying that I don't really believe that Housewives are as staged as some people believe they are. You know, people really think that they're fake and that they're all kind of scripted. I do not believe that. I have had multiple conversations with these women, and I know that as much as they plan for what they may want to do during a season, they really have no control over anything. And they kind of often the part of being a good reality star is that you lose yourself a little bit in the experience, and all that script goes out the window when you're kind of in the midst of it. But I have to say, this season just isn't working for me. And the biggest problem is that Leah issue with Heather, because I don't understand it. It makes no logical sense to me. This would be like if Jill Zarin showed up and Heather was like, and Leah was like, "I'm so mad at you for what you did to Bethany." It's like, what are you talking about? Like,
right.
You weren't there. You're not part of this friend group. You're not part of this argument. You don't know Heather. You have no idea of what her relationship is to the other women. And that's the thing I hate the most about Housewives, is sometimes paper cuts, you have to act like you're morally wounded. And for everyone to be turning around and just being like, "This is so horrible what Heather said on her podcast about us," as if Luann had it scripted into her fucking cabaret show to talk shit about Heather. Every night Luann talks shit about Heather in her cabaret show. Every single night.
And Heather doesn't give a shit.
And Heather doesn't give a shit because that's the way this works. And when you're not on the show anymore, you're constantly asked about the show. You talk about the show. It's part of the game here. You know, right.
I mean, she just had a Viva Drescher on her podcast. Like, once you're a house, if you don't just like leave the show and you fall off the face of the earth, unless you're like Quinn from Orange County or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, you
yes.
never really leave it. Like, you are going to be asked about it. You're going to still have, you know, people tweeting at you and Instagramming you. Because, I mean, that's the thing about streaming services, is you can go back and rewatch season 4 of New Jersey and, you know, suddenly you have really strong feelings about Kathy Wakili. Like, it's just
for
the
sure.
nature of the game. And what I did really appreciate about Heather at that dinner with Lou is – she was like, "Yeah, I think," what did she say? She was like,
"I thought that was a real friendship, but nothing really I learned with Luann is genuine."
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, she was honest about what she said on that podcast and she backed herself up. But the truth of the matter is, Luann, Sonia, Ramona, when they are all off the show, and believe me, one day they will all be off the show, whether they leave while the show is still on or it's over when the show is over. Do you know what I mean? They will be off the show one day. I can guarantee you, I can bet you billions of dollars right now that they will still talk about the show. They just will. They'll talk about it on any podcast that they launch one day. I mean, everybody. I was listening to Bethany Frankel's podcast. She brought the show up. Like, you still talk about it when you're away from it. There's no getting around it. It is part of who you are. So the idea that Heather is crossing some moral line by saying anything, and the idea that Leah, who's been in the game for a year, right, who is a viewer of the show a year ago, is so upset about this, is just bananas to me. It doesn't make any logical sense. And that is my issue with this season. It's like, I don't understand where these arguments are really coming from. And it seems as though a producer is saying, "Listen, go on in and have that argument." And I don't like to believe that that's what the way the show works. I like to believe that these things are natural and organic, but I just don't understand what the motivating factor is for Leah to be so upset about the things that, you know, were said by Heather on this podcast that she didn't even listen to. She was reading all about the tea as if it was the New York Times.
Heather Thompson shares her thoughts on Sonia Morgan's new face, likes first face better.
It's like, what are you doing?
Reading about all of the tea. Yeah, so I'm super curious, Dave. So you know so much about the Housewives. You have the best opinions. You run an amazing clubhouse room on Club Bravo. Well, I mean, like, you run Club Bravo, excuse me. You are like the madam of Club Bravo. And I love it. I love your takes. And do you know why? Is because they always come from like a really smart, loving, like well-rounded place where you're not just like, "I hate this bitch because she said this one thing one time." Like, you're like, no, these are real people with real feelings. And if you don't fucking like them, then don't watch.
Yeah, it's pretty simple as that. I'm very, I don't know. I think I look at these people as people, just as you said. and have always seen the flaws in them and the great things about them. I don't really stan anyone. I'm not like, oh my God, she's incredible. Like, they're all just normal humans in my perspective, and they all make mistakes, and you have to kind of take the good and the bad.
Yeah, and I can attest to that, you guys. He really doesn't stan anyone. There are housewives that he likes, but he's never once said to me, Dave, could you imagine if you ever texted me one day and said, I stan Kathy Hilton? I would be like, who is this? Who has your phone? Like, it would be weird.
Yeah, somebody has definitely hacked me if you ever see me say that. Now, that being said, I love Kathy Hilton. I mean, anybody who comes on the show and talks about doing dental work on people for fun is like, so weird and bizarre that it like it's too good to be true in my eyes. Like, I'm like, oh, thank goodness there's somebody that bizarre.
Look, you ever get a Red Bull?
Gabby.
What?
Are you out of your mind?
What is this?
A Red Bull.
I thought it was like just a soft drink.
She's just like wacky. Like, I just love that about her. Great. She's just like, she's kind of like Kim in that way, like where she's just kind of weird, but she's also just a really, really wealthy woman who like lives on a different planet than everyone else.
Right, right. And I love her for that, but that doesn't mean she's a flawless person. You know, I think that oftentimes housewives culture gets so obsessive with people and they take sides and they stan that person so hard. And I always think to myself that like, if y'all were dying in the street, most of these people would just like really walk right past you. Like, I don't think that they would fight for you in the same way that you fight for them. That doesn't mean that they're heartless humans. I think a lot of them really care about their fans and pay attention to their fan group. But like, holy goodness, calm down. Calm down a little bit.
I'm so glad you brought this up because I'm very passionate about this. I'm very passionate about like the lack of nuance that seems to be taking over the Housewives universe, / Bravo universe. And you and I talk about this all the time, where like, just because you like love someone doesn't mean you automatically hate the person that they're fighting with. Like, just because you like someone doesn't mean I don't recognize that they have flaws. And I always use Dorinda Medley as like a perfect example.
Yes.
Because she's an incredibly flawed person. But I also don't watch these shows to watch perfect people. I enjoy Sonia, but she has issues. Like, I enjoy watching Teresa on TV, but, you know, I can see the flaws there, obviously. So it's just kind of, it's frustrating to be a Bravo fan sometimes.
Yeah, it is very hard to be a Bravo fan sometimes in that capacity. And I try to ignore as much of it as I can. There are some fan accounts that I think border on bullying in a way that's like kind of gross to me. And they'll post things that are so negative and nasty about people that they don't like, that I think is unjustified in a way. You know, it's one thing to be frustrated by moral lines that they feel like certain housewives have crossed. Mm-hmm. And it's another thing to just kind of like be rude and gross and to call these women some really horrible, awful, disgusting things that I'm just like, for what? For the like or for the click? Like, that just isn't enough for me. So I try to kind of stay as much in the center as I can. And I have to tell you, it can be really difficult. And you bring up Dorinda. It's like, you can love Dorinda. I love Dorinda. Does that mean that the comment that she made about Tinsley and the turkey baster was like something I approve of? No. But do I think that on the show she was a truth teller? Do I think that we would be getting some of this, you know, phoniness if Dorinda were there about everything with, you know, Heather and her podcast? No. I think she would have nipped that right damn in the bud.
Yeah, she would look at Liam and be like, why the fuck do you care? And also, I think, you know what really pisses me off is this whole conversation that's going on right now on Roni about the P word and the C word and the D word. I'm like, what are we fucking watching right now?
This dick is big. This dick is small. I like dick. I like to his is big. And she has a WP.
Luann literally took a man back on vacation and like had sex with him and then sent him away. Or no, Ramona sent him away. You know what I mean? Like, what are we watching?
Yeah, I think that there's nuance to the conversation that they don't even know how to have, right? Because Ramona Singer is the woman who walked off the first reunion of the Real Housewives of New York City because they brought up Alex McCord's tasteful modeling nudes and she thought it was too inappropriate, right? So she's certainly changed since that first season and who we know Ramona to be. And we know that she goes on a lot of dates and apparently behind the scenes sleeps with a lot of people. But what's the difference of Leah calling her to the carpet on all those things and Heather calling them to the carpet on her podcast? What's the difference? She's doing the exact same thing that she's upset that the other women are doing. And that's what I don't understand. They're having this huge argument over really nothing. It's like, what are you actually fighting about? You know, a housewife told me once that all of the fights that you see on the show are really about the show themselves. It is not about, you know, throwing a leg or flipping a table. It is really about your placement in the show. What, you know, what the audience is going to think of you, your closeness to that spotlight, whether that's going to go away, keeping and maintaining that. So I really watched this through the lens of wondering, is Leah McSweeney just trying to like hold on and make something happen for herself? You know, are the women having this fight so that there's good arguments for the show? Is Ramona embarrassed because of the fact that now people will start to see the truth about her? Like, what is actually happening? Because I think it's much more nuanced and layered than the actual conversation they're trying to have.
Absolutely. And I think that that's what makes it kind of boring, because they don't even care about this fight. So why would we care?
Right. Of course. And then, of course, the double standard and horrible, you know, way that Luann and Ramona treated Ebony in that scene. When I've watched Bethany Frankel scream and yell at Luann multiple times, and she has never once called Bethany, you know, the words that she called Ebony, you know, Ramona certainly has had her fights as well and never kind of did that. I think it was really, really gross to watch that sort of thing happen. And it's a yet again another pattern of, unfortunately, minorities joining these all-white casts and being put in places where they have to kind of act as a symbol of their entire race and deal with these microaggressions head on. And I think it's really unfair to them.
I completely agree. The last 10 minutes of last night's episode was so hard to watch. I can't imagine like having to live through that and like be Ebony. Because the thing is like, everything Luann was saying was wrong. And then there's also footage of her to refute all the things that she was trying to say Ebony said. And Ebony's like, that's not what I'm saying. And then, you know, I really have to do a little shout out to Sonia, because I really like that Sonia tried her best to stand up for Ebony and try to get the women to see what she was trying to say. And like, you could barely really hear her, because I think the women, Luann and Ramona, kind of dismiss Sonia a lot as like a floozy, like, not smart, like a ditz. But I don't think Sonia is a ditz at all. I think she needs to like move on from like being a Morgan and like living in the townhouse. But I do think like she's really emotionally intelligent and she can pick up on people's feelings and what like the heart and the root of everything is. And so she was just trying to get them to understand, and they were completely blowing her off. And it just made me so sad for her. And then of course for Ebony. I mean, Ebony's taking a social media break, Dave. Did you see?
I did, and I want to take one with her.
I know. Like, I'm like about to do one in solidarity.
Yeah, we all should. It really is difficult for her. And she had come into our clubhouse room once and said that the scene where you saw in the trailer of her having a conversation with Ramona and Ramona saying, you know, they were talking about gaslighting. She said that after that scene, she really wanted to leave the show. She was super, you know, emotional about the experience. So I imagine that that is kind of part of all of this. And I am really, you know, feeling for her today, because I think it's really difficult to be in that situation. But you bring up such a good point about Sonia, because now I'm thinking back at Scary Island, she was the one who was like, okay, we have to leave Kelly alone right now. Like, she's going through something. And she was the one who said that in the space. She was the first person to kind of raise that white flag, I guess.
Yeah. And she, I mean, I just remember these moments with her and Bethany too, because I feel like Bethany was able, I know Bethany is problematic, but I think Bethany was really able to see that in Sonia, and there was just so many little moments with her, especially when Bethany would talk to Sonia about Tinsley. And Sonia was like, this is really how I'm feeling. And Bethany's like, okay, then you need to learn how to say that, because what you're saying to me makes so much sense. But when you say it to them, it like comes out all jumbled up and she gets all flustered. So, I mean, there is like such a softness to Sonia, and I just felt so sad for her that people just are so quick to dismiss her.
I did too. And I have to say, I mean, this is what starts to frustrate me about the show, is that I think that fans have a lot of power. And I talk about this very often when it comes to Sheree. She's like my gold star example. Fans have so much power when it comes to who stays on the show and who goes on the show. That fan like voice being very loud about who they don't want around and who needs to leave and things like that does penetrate the, you know, the producers and the network do hear those things. And with Sheree, if you remember, everybody wanted Sheree back, and Sheree came back, and then everybody wanted Sheree gone after season 10 because she stood by Kim Zolciak's side. They felt like she was the bone collector and she didn't actually bring the bones. And now what are you hearing on social media about Sheree?
Every day.
Bring Sheree back. This woman has been fired twice already. You want to bring her back for a third time? Like, listen, I love Sheree. I want to see Sheree. But if you bring Sheree back, this audience better shut the fuck up when it comes to Sheree. You leave Sheree alone. You don't talk negatively about her at all. You have to support her, because I don't want this poor woman to be canned for a third time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes. I totally agree. Every single day I see a tweet about Sheree, bring Sheree back. I'm like, okay, but like you said, everyone like ran her off the show.
Right. So we have to be careful as a fandom when we call for people's firings and hirings, because there was a bigger picture. And you hear me all the time. Well, right. Look at Tamara.
I was on the wrong side of history with that one, Dave, I will admit.
I was so mad at you. I was so mad
at
you.
I know. I was like, fuck Tamara Judge. And now I'm like, please bring our queen back to us. Like, it also, she was just the perfect housewife. Like, she was so fucking good at her job. And I think that that's what triggers people sometimes, is like, when these women are showing up and doing their job, people get pissed about it. They're like, they're so mean. They're a pot stir. I'm like, that's what we're watching. Like, what are you talking about? I would rather watch Tamara Judge run away from a table in Morea than watch Cynthia Bailey try to like schlep out another like cargo line or eyewear line. Like, I'm so, I know I talk about this all the time. I'm so sick of the fake businesses as storylines. Like, I want interaction between the women or nothing. Like, I don't care about your launch of your fucking serums. I want real shit.
Well, right. I mean, listen, I don't think that there's really been, I think you could probably count on one hand how many real businesses there have been on The Housewives. Everything else is just sponsorship deals. They're just, you know, like even all of the Skinny Girl stuff. It's like Skinny Girl candy, Skinny Girl cold cut, Skinny Girl, right? I mean, like, those are all, it's not like, well, there was Skinny Girl cold cuts and, you know, Skinny Girl jeans. I don't believe that Bethany Frankel is at the butcher. Do you know what I mean? Being like, I would like to find the best meat and curate this. My, you know, like, this is my passion project. This is just another, you know, a deal for her to throw the Skinny Girl name on and expand the line. So as far as that being a real business, I think that a lot of people view real businesses as like doing the work every day ground up. Tamara Judge is at that goddamn gym every single day. You know, like, that's a real, like, business.
Is the gym still open?
It is, yeah. And is they've it, actually
like, thriving? Like, what's going on with Cut Fitness? Do you know?
I do. They're doing really well. You know, they're making money still throughout the pandemic. Obviously, it was very difficult, but they switched their business model. They brought in a chiropractor office into half of the space so that they were able to stay open as a essential business in that context, and then offer another service to their clients, you know, massage and adjustments and things like that after working out. And they basically turned their business into much more of a boutique fitness experience, but they're still running, and she's doing gangbusters with that CBD line, which again she built from the ground up in a way that a lot of the other housewives don't. They just kind of slap their name to something I mean, I think she's been running it for 3 years now and she just started taking a paycheck. So it's like Tamara's really in it in that way, in a very different way than I think, you know, other businesses that we've seen in the past. I mean, I'm still waiting for my joggers. They're coming spring, summer, September. I'm still waiting. You know, I would love to have some She by Sheree. I would love to see Alexis Couture back in the stores. But, you know, these are all things that were just done for, you know, the opportunity for these women to capitalize on their fame in some context and make a little side hustle money, because God knows the money that they get from Bravo isn't strong enough to sustain the lifestyle that they need to therefore show on television every single week.
Right. So, okay, I have a question. I've heard rumors that Heather Dubrow is like being asked back. And I mean, I don't want to say that I started, you know, I planted that idea in Bravo's head on Watch What Happens Live when they asked me what housewife I would bring back. But I did say Heather Dubrow. So I'm just, you know, I'm just saying. So do you know anything about that? Have you heard any rumors? Like, do you know if the Dubrow was going to come back?
I've definitely heard those rumors. Do you know anything about
OC? What the fuck's going on over there?
We're going to find out the OC casting in the next, I would say, 2 weeks.
Stop.
It's going to be very, very soon. Because
they're
supposed to start filming in July, I heard. So, or end of this month, early July. So I think that we're going to find out pretty soon. I've also heard the rumors. You know that I tried every single thing I could to find out that answer. You know that I practically sent flowers to the heads of Evolution to see if they would gossip to me. Those guys are very tight-lipped. Nobody has told me anything. Damn, I tried. But the one thing that I did talk about with Heather, because I checked in with her to see, you know, what's going on. She said to me that if she returned to the show, there would probably have to be some casting changes.
AKA Polly Dodd, probably.
Listen, you can walk down that path again. I'm certainly not.
Oh, no.
But
it's okay. She's blocked on all platforms.
But I don't know. I mean, I just think that I would love to see Heather back. I was working on a project last summer and spent a lot of time with her and really was one of those voices saying, like, you need to come back. You need to come back. I love her very, very much. I think that she was a great housewife. I still quote, this is low base bullshit all the time in the house. My poor boyfriend, Gus, has never seen it. And he has no idea what I'm talking about, but it always makes me laugh. So I think that she would be a great re-addition to the cast in a way that might elevate things again from the way that they were when she first joined the show. And I would like to see her surrounded by a lot of women who are at a higher level as well. I want ladies who've got real money and are kind of showing
have, like, real things going on.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that Heather certainly does. You know, obviously she has a child who's a member of the LGBTQ community, and that's been a big thing that she's been talking about a lot on social media. And we still want to see this house. We're all desperate to see this palisade.
I need to see Chateau Dubrow.
Yeah, Chateau Dubrow. We need to see it. I watched it's like 3 hours on YouTube if you want to watch the whole
Dave, I've watched it all.
Do you remember the story about the etched window? Terry absolutely hated the idea. I loved the idea, and we got into a huge fight over it. Well, I kind of won this one because we have the etched window.
The secret bathrooms.
We have a problem.
I know. I remember, I think it was about halfway through where I was like, wow, this is really time that I'm never going to get back in my life. And then I was like, but I'm still like, yes, next video, please.
Yeah.
I need to see the chandelier they put in the hallway. Like, it really is
extraordinary. I need to see the portico chair.
Oh, my gosh. And that tree in the basement. I mean, I literally know her house better than I know my own apartment. Like, I can tell you every inch of her house.
Now that we talked, like, a little bit of Roni, a little bit of Orange County, what are your thoughts on Beverly Hills this year? Or have you been watching? Are you enjoying it? Because I personally feel revived.
Revived is exactly – listen, since the pandemic, we can all agree they have not been great. We've been really struggling. Orange County gave us a bad season. Dallas was a terrible season. We all really have been struggling with New York. Atlanta did not deliver. I think Beverly Hills is so good. And the reason why is it feels to me that all of those women are showing up. They're all coming to work. They're doing the job. They're giving us moments and storylines. They like each other. They have real friendships there. They care about building bonds with those who are new and in that situation. It just feels to me like there's an energy about Beverly Hills this year that I have not seen in the other offerings I've been given. So I was really, really revitalized. The only exception to the rule is Jersey, because I think Jersey had a phenomenal season as well.
I completely agree. I think, well, because I don't think in New Jersey the pandemic really existed there. I don't think in Jersey they were affected by COVID whatsoever.
Right. And they all got COVID after filming.
That's insane.
Isn't that
because
funny?
Like, whenever they would go out to restaurants, it was packed. No one had a mask on. Like, no one ever talked about COVID. Like, it wasn't really a part of the show, which kind of made me forget about it, which was nice. I liked not being reminded of this pandemic. But with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, this is how I feel right now.
Before you do that, can I just say, Sam, that was all very deliberate. They cut out any sort of storylines around COVID. Because by the time Jersey hit the air, we had already seen COVID play out through Orange County, you know, and some of the other shows. And I think they realized that the audience and the feedback they were getting from the audience was like, oh my God, I don't want to live through this again. So it's like we were at a point in the pandemic once Jersey started airing that like we were getting pandemic fatigue, and they think they kind of removed any sort of conversations that were happening around it. You see it in New York as well, because they're not addressing the fact that the city is completely dead and they're all out in the Hamptons right now, because they like, who wants to see that? Who wants to have that conversation for the billionth time?
No, and I'm really thankful that they kept that from us.
Yeah, me
because
too.
I can't. I have Dave. I've reached a limit with COVID. I'm fatigued. I'm exhausted. I can't talk about it anymore. I like the shaming on social media right now that I've seen of people like shaming people who are vaccinated, who are going out and enjoying their life is like so frustrating to me. But anyways.
Yeah. And I'm one of those people who's like, oh, I miss the pandemic. I like being inside. I thrived.
I was built for this life. Like in the beginning during lockdown, my mom is like such a busy bee. Like she likes to go out and like likes to do a bunch of stuff. Because I was living with my mom at the time in the beginning of the pandemic, she looked at me one day and she just goes, "You sit a lot." I was like, okay, rude. I was like, this is a lockdown. Like, I was like, where would you like me to go? What do you want me to do? Sam, you could go for walks. So, like, I did a couple, like, really long walks. But then, like, once, I want to say in the winter, I was pretty over it. Because it was, like, so dark and gloomy and cold. And I couldn't go anywhere. And I couldn't do anything. It was depressing.
I get it. I mean, listen,
are you, like, fuck up?
No, it's just that I just love television so much. I don't want to ever leave it. So, like, there's always going to be sitting in my perspective, no matter what happens. I'm coming back to that couch.
Oh,
and same. Thank we God for
Heather
Beverly
Dubrow's
Hills.
House tour on YouTube, Dave. And that was pre-pandemic, I'm pretty sure.
It sure was. It sure was. But that brings me back to Beverly Hills. Like they are giving me a reason to tune in week after week. Roni felt like a chore. It felt like, ugh, I have to watch Roni. I am jazzed about Beverly Hills tonight. Like I can't wait to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
I look forward to it every week. And I think the thing that I love about this season so far is that there seems to be so many different dynamics. Like there's Dorit and Garcelle who seem to be friendly. I mean, she did just come out and say that Garcelle seemed inauthentic, which I have so many opinions about that. But, like, on the show, I mean, they seemed cool. But then, you know, Dorit is friends with Kyle and Garcelle isn't that night, like, cool with Kyle. Like, there's just all these different layers and relationships that are going on that just makes it interesting.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, of course, we know that this big thing with Erica is about to happen. We're so close to kind of watching it all play out. And it it gives a certain weight to every single thing that she says. In the same way, if you're watching Below Deck Sailing Yacht this season, we know that Dani is now pregnant, that she had this affair on the boat with JL. We know on social media that, well, no, she's not pregnant. She's had the baby now. But we know on social media he hasn't been tagging her in any pictures. She hasn't been tagging him in any pictures. We know that the show was taped within the 40-week time that she would have gotten pregnant. So it really seems to everyone that, like, this guy's the father and he is not addressing this child, allegedly. And and it makes every episode, every interaction with them so much bigger, right? Because you're watching it being like, oh my God, she just said that she wants to have a baby and she doesn't know if he's available for that. Oh wait, he just said that he's ready to step it up. Like, what does this all mean? And I think it's the same thing with Beverly Hills. Like, every single thing that Erica says about her life, you know, every pan of the closet, every offhanded, quiet remark that normally probably would have been cut is now that much heavier. It's going to be the same experience too.
The pans of the closet. You're exactly right. Like, knowing that this is coming is so, like, it just, like, I'm salivating. Because we haven't heard really her side of the story. So what do you think about Erica Jane?
I tend to have pretty controversial opinions when it comes to the Housewives because I tend to be the person who is, as I said, a lot more balanced and really kind of tries to go in the opposite direction of a lot of people. Everyone, for example, it's like, Teddy was so boring. Thank God she's off the show. We hate Teddy. And I was like, in my perspective, Teddy is the only person who drove drama for the past three seasons. Every single major storyline that we followed for the past three seasons was because of Teddy and the things that she did. And this is somebody who, in my perspective, was like a heavy hitter in a way. Like, she did the work. And I really respect my villains. I really respect the people who are working on the show. I know it's very controversial. I understand. That's how I feel about Erica right now. I know a lot of people think that she's inauthentic. The court of public opinion has deemed her guilty and aware of every single thing that her husband allegedly did. She has not been charged with a single thing publicly.
It's
not even alleged. It's not even alleged by a crime. Yeah, they're... Her husband certainly is going through something, but there's nothing against her right now. Everybody is up in arms with the tone deafness of her social media. I don't think it's really her place to say anything in my perspective right now.
But it's also kind of amazing. Like, yes, I will talk shit about it. And yes, I do find it really disgusting, but I love it. Like, it makes me laugh. It's kind of like Jen Shah right now. I mean, with her, it's not really alleged. Like, she's being indicted.
She's being prosecuted. Yeah, she has charges against her. It's very different for her to be promoting cameos.
People keep, like, trying to make them similar. And I'm like, okay, well, they're really not that similar because Jen Shah is, like, actually going to a trial. She has a date set. Like, she's charged with something.
Correct.
Erica,
we don't know, right? None of that has happened.
Do you think she knew, Dave? What do you think?
I'm waiting to hear what she says about it. It doesn't seem to me that she knew based on the previews of what I've seen that she said. And I have to believe her in that context. And I think a lot of people struggle to believe her. They've always interpreted her personality as being like, cold and strategic and perhaps fake and phony. I think that Erica is somebody who is just built different than everyone else's. And I respect her for the way that she is. I respect her for being somebody who is a little bit more cautious around people and perhaps shy and, you know, careful in the words that she says for intentional is, I guess, the word I would use with her. And I respect her for that. And I'm one of those weirdos who just says, listen, Erica could get on that show and she could zip off her entire skin and show you her bones. And you would still be at home being like, she's not being transparent. You know, like, she's not revealing anything. So, like,
people are me.
There's literally nothing that she can do that's going to appease you. She is never going to make you happy. If you think that she did it, if you think that she knew, you're never going to hear her if she says, I didn't know. You're going to be like, oh, nope, she did it. So if you want to just make up your mind based on what you feel, that's what you interpret and how you feel about her, by all means, go for it. I'm never going to change your perspective. But my perspective is, I tend to think about the fact that if I were ever charged with a crime that I feel like I didn't commit, I would want people to believe me and I would want people to give me the benefit of the doubt. So I'm giving her a big benefit of the doubt right now. The interactions I've had with her in personal life, she's always been super, very sweet and kind to me. I don't think that we love to think of our housewives, as I've said this to you before, like stirring a cauldron, you know, behind the scenes, being like, muhahaha, I'm going to steal from orphans. Like, I just don't think that that's things that people do. I just don't. I don't think that she was intentionally doing those things and out to hurt people. And you also forget that she's been making, what, $500,000, probably $500,000 a year from this show. So, like, her lifestyle has also been funded by her own income for a long time.
See, you always bring such a good perspective because I can, you know, I'm a Scorpio, so I can see things in like a very black and white way at times. And so I'm just sometimes just like, Erica is so cold and calculating. I do think she's like, I don't even want to say she's good on this show because I don't necessarily think that. Yeah, I mean, we might just disagree on this.
That's fair. By the way, that's fair. I have no. I think that
that's
she's
the
good.
Beauty
on this
of our friendship, Dave, is we're able to disagree and we move on.
Well, right, because it's not personal, right? It's like I don't dislike Sam, and Sam doesn't dislike me. We just have different opinions on it. And listen, right. I get it. What you're saying, maybe Erica isn't good on the show. A lot of people feel like she hasn't brought anything. I've never seen someone like her before. I just haven't seen someone like that on TV before. So I find her kind of interesting and fascinating. And she is funny. And I know you have strong feelings about the Glam Squad. I really do. And I think that I agree with you about a lot of them, especially as we saw last night. But on New York.
Oh, on Roni, how they were late.
Yeah. But like, but I don't know. When it comes to Erica, it's like she was the first to do it. So I'm always kind of like, I think it's
fun. Give
her
a little bit more grace with it.
I do. I give her a little bit more grace. And by the way, I also will always give her grace right now because I tend to be that weirdo who when everyone is ganging up on someone, I tend to be like, well, I don't know. I'm always, I guess, at the core of my own person, you know, that fat gay kid who kids made fun of in school, right? So I think of myself a lot. That inner child is still really prevalent. And when I look at any sort of housewife being deemed universally villainized or deemed mm-hmm. as universally like hated, I'm kind of always like, well, maybe they're not as bad as we think they are, and maybe they deserve grace and love. So again, I'm a weirdo.
No, you're just a good person, Dave.
It's that's not true. I mean, I think that I'm just different. It's fine.
But that's why I love
it's
you.
It's neither good nor bad.
Yeah, I love that. Like you also, you bring a really, really good perspective on Kenya that I just think you and I agree on Kenya. And I think the people need to hear like your thoughts and opinions on her because I think people are very quick to villainize, which I mean, she kind of puts herself in that role at times. But I just want to know like your opinion on Kenya more.
Sure. The people want more. I just love
people
her.
People want more, Dave.
I think that Kenya is just an incredible reality star. And I think that she's very smart. She knows her role. She knows what she does. And she delivers. I mean, she can turn a scene on its head in a really unique way, in a way that I don't think a lot of the other women know how to do. The one that really sits with me, I think, is Real Housewives of Atlanta season 8, I believe it was. And it's the scene where, you know, that was the Kim Fields season, a little bit of a duller season, nothing kind of happening, nothing kind of moving. And
yeah, I
it's
needed
the,
that season, really.
Yeah, and it's the scene where Sheree comes in. And Sheree comes to the party, and it's like they're just bringing Sheree on the show as a friend again. They're just kind of bringing her into the mix. And you see Kenya see her, and they've never really met, right? They didn't cross over on the show at all. And you see Kenya see her, and they're like, oh, yeah, I know her. And all of a sudden, Kenya starts making these jabs about her home and how it's, like, not done and how it's kind of empty and this and that. And I think that was Kenya being like, oh, I get it. Here's Sheree, a big star of the show's past. I'm going to make something happen here. I have feelings about this woman, and I'm not going to hold back.
No bitch is going to tell me to put moldy
around my house. And it completely lit up that Moore Manor versus Chateau Sheree. That was the whole season. The baseboards. Like, how fun the was that? And I just think that, like, Kenya knows how to turn it up, how to turn it on. And I appreciate that. A lot of people gave her flack this season about Bolo. Personally, I think it was completely fair game when you're on a work trip. You don't have sex.
You're on a work trip. No, I totally agree. I was like, why is everyone mad that Kenya wants to talk about how a man was in a bedroom with two other housewives? Like, I want everyone to talk about that. And then to try, oh, it gets me heated even thinking about it. Because she wasn't like slut shaming or anything. She was like, let's talk about the big dick that was in the house. Like, what?
Yeah, and listen, everyone does believe that she was slut-shaming, and I'm not going to take away if a woman feels that she was slut-shaming another woman by that. I'm not going to take away those feelings. In my perspective, Kenya really only seemed to go hard about it once the word got back to her that she was lying, you know, because Portia and was saying behind the scenes, like, oh, she's lying. She's just making this up. She's trying to get. And that, I think, is like a point of contention. Like, no. I'm not lying about this. We all know that this happened. And if you don't think for one second that production was thrilled that Kenya was doing that, because what did we say leading into that episode? This season sucks. It's so boring. Nothing has happened. There's been no drama. Kenya makes drama. God, all Kenya wants to do is make drama. This sucks. Why won't she leave it alone? It's like, what do you fucking want? So, like, you can't please anybody. And I feel like Kenya did the job. She showed up to work. Whereas Portia this season, in my perspective, ran away from the job. She didn't want anything to do with it. She was really kind of shutting things down. And it makes me very nervous if she comes back next season with or without Fallon. Like, I want Fallon in the mix next season because I want to confront what is going on. And I don't want her to, like, shut it down and say she doesn't want to talk about it. Because if you don't want to talk about it, get off the show. Like, this is a huge thing that's happening in the public eye. You're engaged to this woman's estranged husband.
I don't think they really met on camera, right? They did, but I don't think that was the first time that Portia and Simon had met.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Shamia was the matchmaker. There's so many things I want to know. Now Portia has this dude's name tattooed on her
his middle name.
His middle name. Excuse me. Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. Which made me laugh so hard because I'm like, wait a minute. Because I was thinking about the person that I'm dating and I'm like, I can't imagine getting like Timothy on my neck.
But what's his middle name?
That's Timothy.
Oh, that's his middle name. I mean, it makes me feel like she's like, if I wanted Simon, she's like, not that Simon. I don't want you to think it's that. I don't know. It's also just ironic because remember how Dennis had all these ex-girlfriend's names tattooed on him? It's like, Portia, you're doing the same thing. You're literally doing the same thing that you criticized Dennis for doing.
It's insane. And I need to watch it play out. Like, I need it. And, okay, yeah. What are your thoughts on Phaedra? Do you think Phaedra should come back? Do you think Phaedra would come back?
No. Okay. I do not think Phaedra should come back. And I do not think Phaedra – perhaps if they wanted to do a single scene with Phaedra, sure. But in my perspective, Phaedra crossed a moral line that is just kind of gross to me, you know? And you – whether or not somebody told this to you, which I think that she's claimed in the past, or you made it up or whatever it was, like, I think that you should be smart enough to know not to bring up allegations of somebody allegedly, you know, plotting to rape someone. And that is like gross and disgusting. And I don't think that those two people are ever going to move on from one another. So what's the point? You know,
it's like, and nor do I think that Candy should. Like, well, that's kind of unforgivable.
I mean, I will say this all the time. Normalize cutting out toxic people from your life. It is okay not to talk to people.
And I think, too, being a Housewives fan, like, there are certain people that we should just, like, leave in the past. Like, yes. I enjoyed Phaedra for what she brought at the time. But I don't think her coming back now would make any sense. And then there's, you know, who else am I thinking of right now? People are always calling for Camille to come back. I don't think Camille should come back.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we saw what we needed to see. I feel the same way about Danielle Staub. We saw what we needed to see.
She's terrifying, Dave. She's a terrifying woman. Like, I am scared of two people in the Bravo universe, and it's Avery Singer and Danielle Staub.
I think they're both good choices, especially like, Avery.
Avery sends a chill down my spine.
No, Avery is terrifying.
Terrifying. She's a mini Ramona. It's so scary to me. Like, the look in her eyes at the flashback last night, I was like, like, it just gave me, like, mean girl energy. You know what I mean? Like, she was at a table full of blondes, like, all judging Leah for, like, wanting to get fucked. And I'm just like, shut up. Shut up. I hate people like that who, like, who act all buttoned up, but, like, behind the scenes, it's like, I know you're a freak, but, like, you like to, I just didn't like it. Because I feel like I've been around girls like that. Like, they're very, like, always clutching their pearls at, like, whatever you say. Oh, my God, you know what it reminded me of?
What?
So, in the show Sex and the City, when Charlotte gets upset that Samantha's talking about sex, and then Charlotte goes and has lunch with her, like, really waspy friends, and then she starts to talk about sex, and then they get really upset. And she's like, are you calling me a whore? And then, like, her and Samantha end up making up. But, like, that's literally what happened.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, Avery has been terrifying since she was a kid. Like, as a kid, I was like, ooh, this girl is a lot. She was really – remember, she was always like, Mom, you're the worst. Like, she was just –
yeah, she's like, Mom, you can't wear that. Mom, that's inappropriate.
Yeah. She was always that way. But we saw the real Avery, in my perspective, last season during that confessional when she was like, stop fucking talking about Elise. I was like, oh, my God, Avery. She has strong opinions.
And I, you know, as an opinionated girl myself – yes, but I just find her to be terrifying. But I think that's enough talk about Avery Singer. I don't want her to get a hold of this and, like, do something.
But, yes, I agree. A lot of the housewives who people advocate to bring back, I don't think need to return. Kim Richards is another person. Like, I would love to see Kim pop in for a cameo, but I do not see her as a full-time housewife ever again. I think that there's some serious things happening in her life that none of us really know about, but we all get the feeling of. And she should focus on taking care of those things.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes a housewife's time is done. Now, that being said, there are a lot of housewives I do want back. And Heather Dubrow is on that list. So I'm glad that you advocated for her.
Who else did you bring back, Dave? Tell me.
Well, this is going to be unpopular right now about what's happening in the press. But I think that we have an incredible cast in The Real Housewives in New Jersey right now. They've given us 3 solid years of great entertainment. But we have been kind of stuck in this 3 versus 3 for a bit.
I need another one.
The only way to fix that.
Oh, no.
Really fix it. To really blow it up is to bring back Caroline Manzo.
Yes. I knew you were going to say that. Okay. It's very controversial, that opinion, Dave.
I know, but let me lay it out for you. Caroline Manzo, immediately a foil to Teresa Giudice, right? So that's going to be, you know, things that they have to deal with, that they have to figure out, that they have to work through. That's going to happen straight down the gate. That goes on. Now, Dolores, really close friends with Caroline off the show, also really close friends with Teresa. So Dolores is now going to be in a place where she has to make a decision as well. There's something needs to happen with Dolores in that sort of fight. She's going to have to figure out where she lines, and she could get in trouble, but she could also get involved in a way that people, I think, love to see. We all love a Patterson Dolores.
Dolores emerges.
Me too. She's the best. Then you have Jennifer Aiden, who I think would really bug the shit out of Caroline. They could probably fight a lot, or consequently, maybe Caroline, as a, you know, a helicopter mom herself, might really appreciate and show compassion towards Jennifer in a way that we haven't seen. That would be really interesting. Melissa is also going to have to really deal with Caroline, because if you remember, Melissa, very, very close with Caroline when she was going against Teresa. But then Melissa kind of turned her back on everyone when Melissa decided to kind of align herself with Teresa. And Melissa really blew up that relationship. Caroline went to bat for Melissa for years. So what is Melissa going to do in this situation? Would Caroline's presence actually bond Melissa and Teresa in a way that we've never really seen? You know, a lot of people feel that that connection isn't as authentic. Would it make them actually stand next to each other on the same side? That would be interesting to see. Margaret, is she clashing with Caroline? Because they have very similar personality types, or would they get along like a house on fire? And of course, that leaves us with Jackie Goldschneider, who I think would probably really connect with Caroline and be a good friend to Caroline, because she doesn't really like Teresa. So that's always going to kind of be a good dynamic. See how it would shift everybody in a really unique way?
Absolutely. And it would kind of force people's feet to the fire to really, especially with Melissa, because it's like, Melissa, we all know that you and Teresa, you do not like each other. And it's like, I'm really ready for Melissa to throw more cheese and like just lose her fucking minds, because I could just see it in her eyes, Dave. Like, she is so done with this. Like, she is so done with like constantly being villainized by her sister-in-law, and her husband like barely stood up for her. And it just was so strange to me. So I would really love to see, I agree, I would love to see Caroline back.
But now a lot of people angry about what's going on between her and Dina. She wrote this letter of support for Tommy as he awaits trial against the, you know, for allegedly hiring a hitman to jump Dina's current husband, David. A lot of people want to know what's going on there. And I think that Caroline would have to talk about it, because Teresa would be sure to bring it up. And I want to understand more, you know, why Caroline did that. It feels like such a betrayal, but are we actually looking at it through the lens of Caroline being somebody who's very loyal to her family? And I know that sounds crazy, because Dina is also her family, but Dina and Caroline haven't had a relationship for years. So maybe it's Caroline making choices to let Tommy have, you know, a fair trial, which I don't know. I mean, there's so many layers to it, right? Like, I want to figure it out. I want to know what it's all about. I want to see it play out. The only hiccup to this is Caroline will not come back on the show unless they pay her well. So if I could say anything, if anyone from Bravo is listening right now, find the money.
Yeah.
Fire some other housewives. Just cancel Dallas entirely if you want, and take that entire budget and put it in
and give it to Caroline.
To Caroline Manzo. I just feel like it would be such a really good season to watch go down, and I would do anything for it.
I completely agree 100%, Dave. I co-sign. Bravo, if you're listening, please bring Caroline back. Well, Dave, this was so much fun. Thank you for coming on the pod. I really appreciate all of your perspectives and your point of view. And I just love you.
I just love you too. And can I say, Sam, I'm so goddamn proud of you. I know how difficult it is to launch something like this. I think that you've always stayed true to who you are, and to watch you blossom over the years with your incredible account and now this, and continue to grow and lean into this. I'm just beyond happy for you, and will always be there to support you.
Oh, I love you so much. That means so much to me. Where can people follow you?
People can give me a follow on social media at 9daves, NineDaves. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and also on Clubhouse. So give a follow there. We do a ton of rooms in Club Bravo talking all about everything from the Real Housewives to the Below Deck Yachties to the Shahs of Sunset. I mean, we cover it all. So come hang out with us.
And it's the biggest Bravo club on Clubhouse.
We sure are. It's really incredible. The amount of people that I've gotten to connect with is just beyond my wildest dreams.
And you get guest stars like housewives. I remember the one time I couldn't make it, and it was Dorinda on.
It was.
I was devastated.
Dorinda stopped by. Ebony has stopped by. We've chatted with Tiffany Moon a lot, with Margaret Josephs. Yeah, you remember. all the ladies, and beyond that, we've had some below deckers. Kate Chastain pops in all the time, who we adore. So it's a lot of fun. Come hang out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dave. Have a good rest of your day.
You too, boo-boo.
Thank you so much for listening this week. And please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to follow me on Instagram at Bravo Historian. And Hot Off the Mess is a podcast by The Dip. That's D-I-P-P. And be sure to check out their other podcasts. They have a podcast by Christian Grey Snow called The Slut Pig Podcast, a daily pop culture podcast called Pop Chaser, and a TV history podcast called TV Watch Repeat. So see you next week. We'll be right back.